you will take your Bibles or your phones if you use them and turn to Luke chapter 2. We come to that time of the year when there's much talk about Christmas. There's Christmas parties to attend, there's gifts to buy, and there's people to see. And our calendar gets quickly filled with many activities. Some really like this time of the year. Some really get into it. Some have even started decorating ready in November. But there are some that can hardly wait till this time of the year is over with. I remember one person saying to me the best day for him was Boxing Day. Our senses are overloaded with all that we see, with all that we take in. Social media, TV, everything just pounding at us. What is Christmas all about? The text this morning, as we're going to get into it, is Luke's account of the birth of our Lord Jesus. The worship team got us focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ through communion, and we want to do that now. So may I encourage you to rise. Stand up, if you will. Stretch your legs one more time. But I want to read this story. It's a powerful story. It's one that we forget about often. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came and the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the field nearby watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. As we go through this story. The first thing that we see that Luke begins with, he says this, in those days. And then he speaks about real people in real places in real history. This is very important because our world today puts a spin on it. Luke doesn't begin with words like once upon a time, because this is not a fairy tale. This is very real. It occurred, real people, real places, in real history. And Luke sets the narrative exactly in the context of real history. The story begins about three kings. The first king, as Luke brings out, sits on the throne as ruler and emperor of Rome. The greatest power on the earth, on the face of the earth at this time. And the story opens up with that. The second king that Luke brings out doesn't sit on a throne, but is wrapped in clothes and is lying in the manger. Here's the thing. He is the King of Kings. He rules over the king in Rome. There's a third king, and that is the eternal king, the Lord God Almighty, the all-powerful one. He is the great king who reigns over all things. And when we go through the first five verses, we see that there was a decree issued and executed by the emperor of Rome. The first king. There's quite a bit of feedback bouncing off on me. I'm not sure if you guys are picking that up. He issues a decree. But this decree was done in obedience to an earlier decree given by the Lord God Almighty, the all-powerful one. And that decree was that Jesus was to be born in a specific time, in a specific place, in the village of Bethlehem, for a specific mission to save his people from their sins. So even though this earthly king, this ruler, issued this decree, the Lord God Almighty, the most powerful king in the world, over all, issued it. Caesar Augustus was probably the most celebrated Roman emperor in history. And he built a temple in memory of his great uncle, Julius Caesar. And they acknowledged him and honored him as deity. And this really upset the Jewish people. If you dig into history, if you Google it, you will find that. They were greatly bothered by it. And Luke here starts the story off by saying, a baby was born. The King of Kings. Greater than Julius Caesar. And he's in a manger in the town of Bethlehem. As we continue with this story, and we pick it up in verses 4 and 5. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting child. in obedience to this decree that Caesar Augustus had issued, Joseph leaves his home and he goes to the city of David called Bethlehem. Now, it's very interesting that the Roman law did not require the man to bring his wife with him to register for the tax. And we can only speculate as to why Joseph subjected his wife Mary to such a demanding journey. It was a long journey. But Scripture tells us that he knew that the time had come for her to deliver. And he didn't want to leave her. He didn't want to have to be gone when she gave birth. And so, he brought her with her. The ultimate reason, again, as we go through this story, is that the eternal King, the Lord God Almighty, had decreed that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. And if you go to your Old Testament, Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, it says this, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times." You see, the fulfillment of this Mary delivery, her firstborn son, wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. The entrance of Jesus into the world is against the backdrop of humiliation. The King of Kings enters in with disgrace. There is no place for him to lay his head. There is no room in the inn. It's packed out. And all he has is a manger. In fact, even as he is an adult, he would say in Luke chapter 9, "But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He never had a place to lay his head that was not borrowed from someone else. And so here he is, the King of Kings, enters in disgrace and humiliation. And he exits the world, as we remember this morning, in humiliation on the cross. But he conquers all that when he rises out of the grave. Our story continues at the very moment when the baby is wrapped and placed in the manger. The eternal King, the Lord God Almighty, is not satisfied with that. He's not satisfied with the circumstances of the birth of his son. Not only to be in the terms of humiliation, there needs to be exaltation. Shame needs to be balanced with glory. And look at what happens in verse 8. "And then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find this babe wrapped and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Out in the fields, Luke makes it really clear that the lowliest people of the land, the shepherds, keeping their flocks at night, get to hear about this great message. They're watching their flocks at night. They're usually taking turns sleeping and keeping watch over their sheep. And out there in the plains, it's quiet and it's dark. And you have to be brave to be a shepherd. Because there's many wild animals. There's many people out there that want to take the sheep. And suddenly, without prior announcement, no warning, no human messenger saying, hey, just by the way, something's going to happen. I want you to wake up and get ready. This night's going to be important. An incredible thing is going to happen. You won't believe what's going to take place. None of that occurred. Out of nowhere, Scripture tells us, an angel of the heaven appeared. And then, verse 13 tells us that suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with that angel. Now that would wake you up out of your sleep. The angel of the Lord stood before the shepherds. He's accompanied by the glory of God. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God. While they're sleeping, this angel appears. It wakes them up. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord is bathed in a shining, blinding glory of God Himself. Almost every time when you go through Scripture, when there is a visible manifestation to humankind, an outward visible manifestation of the invisible God in the Old Testament, it's accompanied by the presence of light. It's a blazing light. It's a brilliant light. It's the brightness of the divine presence of God Himself. And when the glory was visible, people hid their eyes from it. They were overwhelmed by it. They were driven to their knees in front of it. Because there's nothing in nature that can compare to the glory of God. And the shepherds were bathed in the glory of God right before their eyes. And they were very afraid. They were very afraid. Luke tells us that the blinding glory of God appeared to the shepherds and they were terrified. They were afraid like they'd never been afraid in their whole life before. Who wouldn't be trembling in the fear at the manifestation of the glory of the Lord shown around them? It would cause all of us to fall on the ground with our faces down. And the angel says to them, "Fear not, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have good news." I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Jesus said that to his followers as well. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. For this is the birthday of the one who will save you. This is the day your Savior is born. Not only is he the Savior, but he is the Christ, the Lord. You see, the shepherds would have understood that. They would have understood the meaning of the word Messiah. Today, your Savior is born. Today, Messiah is born. Today, your Lord is Bethlehem, is born. And this will be the sign. You must go and look, see the sign, because the sign is significant. Look at verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. And no sooner had the angel made his announcement, there is a multitude of angels that inhabit heaven and surround the presence of the shepherd. The angels bring the chorus from heaven saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." We sang a song, the team led us, of glorifying the Lord. Luke tells us that when the angels had gone away from them and into heaven, that the shepherds began to speak. Did you see that? Did you hear that? What are we doing standing here? Let's go right now. Let's see the sign that the angel has announced. And Luke says that when they found Mary and Joseph, they were coming to see the baby lying in the manger. And once they seen him, they spread the word. They told every single person about it. They opened their mouths and they did evangelism by example. They told everyone what they heard and what they saw. And Scripture says that when everyone heard this, they were amazed at the things the shepherds told them. Our story goes on in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in their heart. When I was thinking about this, I was wondering, how long did the shepherds marvel? How long did they tell people about what they saw, about what they heard? How long did their excitement last? Can you imagine an incredible experience? I was thinking about this as I was visiting my friends this week. Maybe every year at the same time of his birth, they would talk about it. But it's interesting that Luke puts here in verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Everything that she saw, everything that she heard, she kept it. and pondered them in her heart. Thinking of the Jewish custom. AD later, when she took the child to the temple for circumcision, she pondered that. When Jesus was 12 and they found him in the temple teaching, she pondered that. Knowing mothers, Mary would not be any different. Every night she would tuck Jesus into bed. She pondered those things. She pondered them at the day she stood at the foot of the cross and watched him die. And she pondered them all until Sunday morning came. And he rose again in glory, in triumph, in exaltation. She pondered it. Look at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds left doing two things. Praising God and glorifying Him for everything they heard and seen. And as we go through this Christmas story, this is what you and I are to do as Christians, as Christ followers. We are to give glory and honor and dominion and power and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to join the angels every day and say this: worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we are to do. And as we enter into this time, with all this busyness around us, with all the distractions taking us away, may we focus on these two things, of praising God and glorifying Him for everything that we have heard and have seen. Let me just pray as the team comes up. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this story. Oftentimes we forget about it. Oftentimes we get caught up in distractions and we don't take time to ponder and reflect upon who you are and your majesty and your glory. Lord, help us. Continue to give you praise every day. Continue to glorify you every day. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray and ask things in your name. Amen.